You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
The Blurred Nerds podcast is proud to be sponsored by Sweatpants and Coffee, the blanket fort of the internet, where comfort rules. Find them on the web at www.sweatpantsandcoffee.com.
You're listening to the Blurred Nerds podcast, part of the ESO Network, brought to you by GBTV and the Geek Ventures.
Welcome to the Blurred Nerds podcast, ladies and gentlemen. This is Little Bit.
And this is the Geek Father.
I think it's episode 263.
It is.
All right.
It is episode 263.
I haven't been here in a while.
I know. Well, it's like I was going into withdrawal there, you know. We're recording this a week later than we normally do because
technology hated me last week.
Technology is great until it's not, and for a little bit it was not.
And it was all the technology at once. Every computer I owned
just decided to be like, nah, you know what? Fuck you, deuces. I'm out. And they shit the bed, basically.
Hey, the only good thing is I had a few days before gotten out my external hard drive and was like, I'm going to back up every laptop. Because, yeah, I was already having issues with them. They were just running too slow for me. And I knew I was going to have to upgrade. I had already ordered a new computer. And then my recording computer that I do the podcast and do the radio show on and a bunch of other stuff, it basically turned into an expensive paperweight. It cannot. Well, I'm sure if I took it to a pro,
yeah, it would cost more to fix than it would be. Yeah. That it's actually worth at this point.
Yeah, but it's stuck in the cycle of doom.
You got your own version of the PC Red Ring of Death.
Yeah,
and blue screened like a motherfucker.
My other PC, I was able to clean up a bunch on it and fix a bunch of the issues, and it is running better. But it's not something I would use to record.
Right. So you've gone from PC family to Macland, apparently.
Yes. And yeah, sure. I feel like an idiot. So
there's a learning curve. It's, you know, once you figure it out, I'm sure.
Let's just I'm, you know, we're in that generation where we were, you know, one of the first groups to get like computer lab when starting at like seventh grade or something like
that. Yeah, it was seventh grade. Yeah.
Yeah.
Computer class, computer literacy class.
When we were learning how to create art by entering code and DOS and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I learned we had Apple IIs. That's where I first learned to, you know, computers and freaking interfaces and shit. I didn't start using PC until I like was in high school.
I don't even remember what kind of computer the school lab had, but like my aunt worked for Texas Instruments. So we used a lot. We had a lot of various.
You had one of them snazzy TIs, those badass fuckers.
Yeah. And then when the internet became a thing in like 91, 92 or whatever, and my dad had a home PC. So I have been using a PC since like 92.
Connected to the internet.
Yeah.
And then your mom would pick up the phone and you'd be like, Mom, I'm trying to connect to the internet. Don't pick up the phone.
Yeah, so well, I spent most of my time on late at night when the parentals were asleep. So I didn't have to worry about that.
In the the internet instant messenger.
No, I wasn't big on AIM, but I was big into the chat rooms.
We all had our little nerd things going
because
on.
Well, you know, because they were so specific, like fans of the X-Files and
sci-fi fans, Star Wars fans. Oh man, those were the days.
Yeah. So now I've been using a PC for well over half my life, and now I feel like I've never touched a computer before.
You feel like your grandparents like, what is this? What the, I don't know how to use, how do you switch the clock on this thing? Yeah.
Yeah, it's just it's completely new. It's completely new.
I know every time I get a new I just got the new TV, you know, now they're all smart TVs, right? So previous, the new TV I got crapped out, the first one I got. So I got a new TV. And it's like, you know, it's a little different, but it's still like just trying to figure out my fucking TV. I feel like an old person. It's like, what is smart TV? What is, how do you, where does that go to set the thing on? There's a clock on this thing? I'm like, I used to make fun of my mother for having to set her VCR clock and record her shows. Now I am that person.
Hey, I have no problem with that kind of shit. I figure out TVs, Blu-ray players, game systems, all that super fast. To me, it's intuitive.
Well, the game system
going from a PC to a Mac is not intuitive for me. It's a completely different interface. The fact that, like,
it's like going from an automatic to a manual, and you've never driven manual before.
Yeah, you know, you open a program on a PC, and right at the top of that program window is the file, view, edit, window, help buttons. On a Mac, no, it's up in the, it's on your, what is it called? Your display. It is separate from the window. It is up in the top screen.
But that's not where it's supposed to be, man.
No, I, and the first time I can't remember what program I was using, probably Audacity. And I was like, where the hell are my effects? Where's the effects bar? And I'm like, is it just built completely different on this computer? So I actually had to Google it. Like, why can't I, where's the effects bar on a Mac? And then I start reading through the comments and the user's like, oh, you need to remember that on a Mac, all the buttons are up at the top left of the screen. And I looked up because I never even thought to look there. And I was like, what?
Who decided this? Whose idea was this to put these buttons here?
It's very weird. weird for me, weird for my PC brain. But I had to go to the dark side because, you know, Windows has now started this bullshit where each version of Windows they release, they are now only going to support it for 5 years. And after that 5 years is up, you are not getting updates. You are not getting support.
You are on your own.
Yeah. Or because like my other laptop, the one that I fixed, it's on Windows 10. It might have started at Windows 8. And I upgraded to 10. Well, now it says it's not, it doesn't have the right specs to upgrade to 11. Oh, so yeah, right there is like, okay, yep, that's the 5 year mark. It hit the 5 year mark.
My laptop, which is only like 3 years old, it's like, no, you've got 10, but you don't have the specs to upgrade to 11. I was like, well, I guess I'll be having to get a new laptop here in the next couple of years, son of a bitch.
Well, you might, but apparently there are 20 plus year old Mac machines that are still supported and still run perfectly by Apple. So I was like, you know what, if man, I'm going to spend this money, then yeah, I want something that's going to last me 20 years.
Our man Timmy's been using his Mac for editing for years and he's never had a problem with it. So, well, I hope this one works out for you. That's certainly... I'm sure things will, when you figure it out, hammer out the kinks, it'll run smoothly.
Yeah. See, the problem is I leave for con in like 19 days.
The countdown begins 19 days.
So I do not possess the brain capacity at this moment to deal with packing, finishing costumes, also while still renovating our new house and still having to unpack stuff in the new house, getting it ready for guests who will be staying here and house sitting and dog sitting, and then trying to learn new technology. No, it's just not, it's not going to happen.
So are you, for Dragon Con, are you going to be legit media this year?
I am. Yes.
Legit media for reals.
My very first year to be approved for media status.
We've got a blurred nerd up in the house going to Dragon Con.
Well, also Dragon Con report.
Well, yeah. You're gonna both, you know.
Yeah.
It's gonna be all good.
But for the Dragon Con report, I'll be doing what I do best and talking about parties.
our woman a little bit talking about parties.
Yeah.
Where the best ones are, what the best drinks are, all the good shit.
And, you know, band performances, stuff like that. There's a lot of great bands playing this year. So that's going to be my niche, is talking about, well, at least, I mean, some people go for panels. Some people go for costuming.
Some people go for parties. They get fucked up.
Yeah. Well, no, there's plenty of people that go to parties and don't drink. So, and I don't drink at every party either. Because if I'm like in one of the raves and there's like 500 people, I will not be drinking around that crowd. Because that's just too many people to be drunk around. Drunk around like 30 people? Sure, I'm fine. 500? Mm-hmm. No.
Well, speaking of drunk, Warner Brothers has been pretty drunk lately.
DC in general.
They've been fucking around.
Yeah, so we were going to talk about this last week. But yeah, it's kind of good that everything shut it out and we couldn't record, because more info has come out. Like more developments with Ezra Miller.
As if they needed more developments. Like, legit, Ezra Miller, I swear he's trying to go to every state and get himself a felony charge.
Well, but we've finally gotten, you know, source news that the WB is finally putting or trying to put contingency plans in place.
Yes,
on what to do.
Reportedly considering canceling the Flash movie after Ezra Miller's latest controversy if their behavior continues. And what were the three contingencies? One was to not be involved at all. Like, I'm not really sure what the three.
Okay, so the contingencies are, they can cancel it and basically eat that $200 million, which I don't think it would not be a tax write-off this year. It'd have to be next year. I think that's what I was reading. Then the next one would be if Ezra agrees to get professional help and commits to it, like actually goes through the process, they would allow him to do limited publicity. Basically, it would be an apology tour, like get some help.
Like mea culpa, you know.
Yeah, go to the public and like show that you are trying to get better, that you're putting in the time and effort, and then we'll let you do limited appearances to promote the movie. But you know, it's gonna be the interview set would be strictly like, you know, you have to stick to the script. You're not gonna answer questions about this, and this.
Right.
But he would not do the whole promotional blitz that would usually happen. Right. And then the third contingency would be if he does not get help. He would not be part of the publicity process, but he would have to not get in any more trouble.
Well, I don't think they can count on Ezra not getting in any trouble.
I think a lot of people, we all like to hope that people can change after they fuck up. Sometimes
some people's
they have to be ready to get the help. They have to be ready to, they have to be able to admit that there's an issue.
Yeah. First step is admitting you have a problem.
Right.
And test screenings, they've said test screenings of the Flash have been positive.
Okay, but how do we know they're telling the truth?
Yeah, I know. They said the test screenings for Batgirl were absolute trash.
And there's no way.
And then it was a bad episode of TV. And I'm like, you spend $70 to $90 million on a movie and it comes out to be just a bad TV episode?
Come on. But you got the directors who did at least one episode of WandaVision.
And they did a few episodes of Ms. Marvel as well.
That's what it was, Ms. Marvel. And you're going to try and say that this is bad? I mean, it's already a double standard, you know, right.
It's like you've got, I want to say you canceled the brown woman's Batgirl movie.
Over Kevin Smith said it.
Yeah, he did. And Kevin Smith is a braver man than I. I mean, that's a thought I had, was like, okay, they cancel her movie, but Ezra Miller, who's having all these problems, and I don't know, I'm assuming Ezra Miller is Caucasian, and their movie is just not, you know, just he's, they've caught, they've caused so many problems that, I mean, I would think the studio would have canceled that first, but you know, you put more money into that, I guess. And that's one of your tentpole movies. You got to kind of stick with that, I guess. Either way, David Zaslav is kind of in a no-win situation. They're
he's making every step of the way, he's making things worse for himself. I mean, trying to say that, you know, that they're going to change direction for the DCEU.
He wants his own
Kevin Feige. And it's like, you can want a 10-year plan till all day long. That don't mean it's going to work. That don't mean you're going to find, there's a reason Kevin Feige is so good.
It's because he's Kevin Feige. He's like a unicorn.
Yeah.
They don't grow on trees. You know,
every studio wants their own MCU.
They have
tried and they have failed.
Every studio would love that. Sony has tried that and failed.
Look at Universal with their Monster Universe.
Yeah. Hey, you put Tom Cruise in one movie and it was like, no. Negative. That's the worst Mummy movie ever.
Yeah. Also, like, how do you put your foot in the face of Brendan Fraser's revival? I mean, has been through enough. We need to see him in the role of Firefly.
Okay, and the thing is, Michael Keaton was going to reprise his role as Batman in The Flash and
Batgirl.
And Batgirl, and he was going to have a cameo in Aquaman 2. His cameo in Aquaman 2 has been replaced by Ben Affleck, so they reshot that. The Batgirl movie was shelved, so we're never going to see that. And the Flash movie is in danger of cancellation. The biggest problem is they're going to be denying us more Keaton Batman, and that is the real travesty.
And Brendan Fraser. I'm sorry. It's also Brendan Fraser.
That's the real travesty.
Because now we all have to brace and see. It's like, are they going to fucking cancel Doom Patrol? Because they're canceling HBO Max, essentially.
That's the next question. Are Doom Patrol and Teen Titans next on the chopping block? You know, people were like, you know, wary.
HBO Max is not going to exist next year.
They're going to like merge it to Disney Max
it's Discovery. It's going to be Discovery plus HBO. HBO Max will be gone.
You know.
And the same thing. They have already deleted movies that were exclusive to the HBO Max platform. Yeah, some that released like a month ago. It's gone.
Yeah, and they're canceling a lot of their HBO Max originals. So you know, you got Hacks that's in danger. You've got
Hacks has already been renewed.
Oh well, that's good. Well, I mean,
and to be fair, Hacks was not just made for HBO Max. Hacks is an actual HBO. It's very confusing because there's HBO. They consider it two entities: HBO, yeah. HBO Max. So Hacks is an HBO show. Whereas if you look at something like Legendary, which is the ballroom competition show, that is an HBO Max show. Mm. Or let's look at Pennyworth, that I know
which has been terribly renamed.
I read the headline. I did not read what has been renamed. What is it?
I don't know. Stupid like The Rise of Batman's Butler or some shit.
So that got saved, moved over from Epics to HBO Max. Pennyworth is now an HBO Max show, not HBO. So it could get canceled unless they already made this be the third season. Westworld is an HBO show, not HBO Max. The new Game of Thrones show, that's HBO, not HBO Max. So as long as those don't bomb, they're safe. But yeah, anything that was like, I am now worried about Warrior.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
that one came over from
Cinemax. It was
Cinemax. So we'll see.
But it was swallowed into the HBO Max, not HBO. So, again, Andrew Koji is also getting so much bigger and more popular and bigger roles. Like, maybe they made this next season to be the final season. Who knows? I know he said it's getting a lot more grueling on him to the production of Warrior.
It's a lot of stunt work, man.
Well, it's not just the stunt work. He said, like, you know, he's in that movie Bullet Train.
Oh, yeah.
With Brad Pitt. Uh-huh. And he had said that they had so much time off between season 2 and season 3 of Warrior, and he'd gone to go film all this other stuff. And, you know, it's movies especially is on a shorter timeline than a TV show, usually, at least filming wise. But then some arid, dry, hot as shit country to film season 3, you know, and had to rebuild all the sets, and we're filming for 5 months, I think, you know, and long days. And he said it's a different type of shape you have to be to do that stunt work as opposed to what he does in the movie roles he gets cast in.
Right.
So he said it was really grueling on him, and it was hard to, he had to speed up the getting in shape process.
Oh yeah.
To be prepared for the filming. So
that'd fuck you up.
Like, he loves the part, he loves the role, but it's getting harder on him. And he's getting more opportunities, so
good for him.
But yeah, again, these yeah, I went off on this tangent. Yeah.
they basically gone from one owner who didn't know what the fuck to do with them, and AT&T, and now they've gotten to Discovery, and now they don't know what the fuck to do with them.
Yeah, well, Discovery just wants cheap reality TV. Yeah. And that's not what anybody watches.
There's enough for that stuff out there, but that's not where you go. HBO Max and HBO, it's just not the place you want to go for really your reality TV.
There are some good reality offerings on HBO Max. Again, like I mentioned earlier, Legendary, love that show. But
yeah, but that's not your go-to place for it, you know what I mean?
No, I know to go there to watch it, but I am not. It's not like I get on the Paramount app and I'm like, oh, I can watch Big Brother. The Challenge USA. Oh,
when there was DC Universe and like, you can find all your DC stuff here on DC Universe app, and then that bombed, and they're like, whoops, we canceled that. We'll put it all on HBO Max, and now they're like, oh, whoops, never mind. We're gonna go ahead and cancel that. We're still figuring it out. Like, I mean, it's exasperating.
And well, also, David is just like every other day he's saying something that pisses off everybody.
Yeah,
or confuses everybody.
10-year plan. We're on this. And you're like, your 10-year plan is like 20 years too late. You know, you're trying to copy Marvel now, and Marvel's like just laughing at you.
But also, Marvel just releases bad movies. But they're not going to just tank it. If it's filmed and in the can, they're going to release it.
If it sucks, are bad. We're going to put out one. It's going to be good later, you know? But yeah. I don't know. I have no clue.
As evident, you know, like, either. Yeah. So you already spent the money.
Right?
Just don't use it as a
title. If it sucks, put it out. I mean,
let the fans decide.
You might recoup some money. You never know. It might be good. It might make its money back. Even shitty movies make money now. I mean, come on. I think that's just a bullshit excuse to find a reason to just.
No, it's throwing the cast and the crew under the bus is what it's like, doing.
It completed. The movie was done. All they do is work on some effect shots, whatever. It was done. It was in the can. And it's like, you just, like you said, you just shit on all those the creative's hard work, all effort they put in for months to film that and to put their best effort forward, and it just.
And it's also not a good look to cancel a movie with a female lead. It's a high profile character. Not
in the Me Too era, definitely.
Yeah.
Especially not sis.
It's like you're going back to, what was it, fucking Ike Perlmutter or whatever, who said that female led movies don't do well and nobody wants to see it, you know?
Yeah. And since then, all the female led superhero movies they've come out with have done pretty damn well. I mean, even ones that critics are like, "Meh," it's still, they made money. And there have been some that have been fantastic. Wonder Woman, you know, and I liked Black Widow. I don't care what anyone says. I like.
Yeah, I've enjoyed Black Widow. I mean, come on, I enjoyed the Eternals.
And you've got She-Hulk coming out, which I'm really excited for. That's next Friday, and that's going to be awesome. So, you know, you had Ms. Marvel. You've got, you know, Captain Marvel. This got some shit coming out. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I bet eventually down the line, they're going to have an A-Force movie.
Yeah. So speaking of female-led movies, that's what we're going to talk about. Great representation of a female-led movie when we come back right after this break.
In the Cosmic Pizza Podcast, your pizza delivery guys, Dan, Sean, and Paul, serve you a slice of life. We talk to women in comedy, voice actors, film directors and producers, authors. We also talk about conspiracy theories, The Muppets, our top three films of the decades, famous people we confuse with each other, and our favourite stand-up comedians. We have recast Star Trek The Original Series and Babylon 5, and created our alternative superheroes. But most of all, we have had so much fun doing it every 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Cosmic Pizza Podcast is not about the cosmos or about pizza.
Sponsored by Sweatpants and Coffee, the blanket fort of the internet where comfort rules. Look for their anxiety blog, Comfort and Encouragement Journal, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. Find them on the web at www.sweatpantsandcoffee.com.
Hey, you know how you don't have any friends? It's fine.
The Flopcast will be your friend.
Your weird podcast friend.
Join us on the Flopcast every week for a silly conversation about cartoons, music,
comic books,
chickens,
and obscure 80s pop culture trivia that no one,
literally no one,
could possibly care about.
Find us at flopcast.net
and on the ESO Network.
It'll be our little secret.
And we're back. Speaking of female-led movies, holy shit. Talking about a film that, you know, how do you make your money? Because it went to streaming, I guess, when they released it on home video. But Prey. Prey hit Hulu last week.
Oh, yes. Yes. And it has been, people have been saying it is equal to or even, you know, some folks are saying, and how dare they say this, better than the original. I'm partial to the original. It'll always be, you have a number one spot in my heart.
We haven't actually said original what. For those who aren't familiar, Prey is a movie in the Predator series.
It is a prequel.
The director said he wouldn't really call it a prequel. It's just an early story.
It's like the story of the first Predator hunt on Earth.
Yeah, the first Predator to land on the planet.
So you could, I guess, technically call it a prequel. It's not really. It has a predator in it, and it's kind of like.
But the Predator is completely different from the Predators we've
seen. It's like set in 1719. It's in North America, the Great Plains, and it's, you know, the Predator lands in Comanche lands, and he's going on a hunt, and it's the first time he's hunted on Earth. So, you know, they're not familiar with humans. So, you know, like any hunter hunting in a new hunting ground, scouts out the prey around the area, like what is a predator,
is the strongest apex predator on this planet, because that's what they go after to kill for their trophies.
So the Predator is working with technology that's 300 years earlier than the stuff you saw in the original movie. Like there's no plasma, you know, blaster, there's, you know, he's dealing with more antiquated shit, but still, compared to what humans are working with, still, like, you know, hundreds of years ahead of anything we could come up with. So he works his way up the food chain, you know, starts like kills a snake, then he works up to a wolf, and then like it's pretty badass. The main protagonist is what's her name? Nuri, or
I think it pretty sure it's her first role.
Amber Midthunder is and her first role.
All the all indigenous people were hired to play the tribesmen and women, which was really cool. And for a lot of them, it was her first major roles. They also, she has a dog companion. The dog was rescued from a shelter specifically to be trained to be in this movie.
The dog is pretty dope.
They said that the dog was a handful and a troublemaker, but
it's a shelter dog.
Yeah, also, you know,
had
just
to learn.
She said that she had a boundless energy.
Of course.
And
so Amber Midthunder.
The dog was one of the better dog actors I've seen. Very expressive.
Yes, very so. So Amber played Naru, and who is it? Dakota Beavers played her brother Tabe, and she was trying to become a warrior. And you know, Comanches are just like, nah, you're a woman, stay home.
Well, no, I think not necessarily a warrior. She wanted to be a hunter.
Yeah, she wanted to be a hunter, a warrior, and her brother was like, you're not ready, you can't do this. And I forget the word that it was like. You wanted to hunt something that hunts you as well, and that was like their I can't think of it, like their process they need to go through to truly become a hunter. And it's just a fantastic fucking movie, dude.
Let's take it, like, even if not being, let's don't even think of it as a Predator movie, just as a movie on its own. One with the cast that they put in, showing representation of a story that we don't get to see from the gaze of Native Americans. We always see it from the gaze of a white man, you know?
Yeah.
And so they're not.
And the white men were definitely the villains in this movie.
Yeah. We don't usually get a lot of accuracy.
Yeah. So it was directed by Dan Trachtenberg, who did 10 Cloverfield Lane, if you remember that one. And one of the producers, one of the producers was actually Native American, and she was the one that really strove, you know, towards there being proper representation in this movie, and then, you know, they have actually, you know, Native American actors. And the movie was one of the first movie to be dubbed in Comanche. Like, there's on Hulu, there's a version that's dubbed in Comanche, and I've watched it, and it's pretty damn interesting. I'm just like, oh wow, why didn't they just shoot the movie with them speaking Comanche? Because the actors who acted also did the dubbing. So I was like, why did they just have them talking Comanche? That would have been awesome. I would have still watched it, and it would have been even more awesome.
I'm sure it was to get as many eyes on it as possible.
Sure it was probably discussed, and they probably were like, well, we wanted to speak to a Native American audience, but we also wanted, you know, the mainstream audience to not be like, oh, I got to read the subtitles and it's just weird. I know how people are.
No, you know how Americans are with subtitles.
Yeah, Americans, we got to read it. I don't want to read my movie. I want to watch it.
but now they're able to prove a concept. You know, you look at this and then Reservation Dogs. It's proving a concept that there are other stories. There are authentic stories
to be told.
And people, the audience is there for
see,
it.
And this is the
if
thing,
you treat it with respect.
This is the thing. Facebook a few months ago, I put a status because I was watching a movie and I was like, oh, look, I'm watching yet another. It was some Viking show. I'm like, oh, look, I'm watching yet another show about, you know, crazy white folks with axes going through murdering and pillaging. I'm like, why don't they ever have a show about like Comanches or Apaches or Zulu warriors? It's like, you know, South Asian or something, you know, because throughout history, there's been so many peoples that are just are majestic and are badass and awesome and the warriors and be great stories. I'm like, I'd love to see that. And here, a few months later, we've got Prey. And I'm like, all right, it's a good start. I hope that I see more of these. And they've even, you know, you would think this movie didn't really have a lot of connections to the movies that, you know, succeeded. Well,
they put in some Easter eggs.
There is a specific Easter egg involving its connection to Predator 2 of all movies. I would thought they would have done a Predator connection, but its connection. There's a pistol that she gets a hold of that ends up being the same pistol that they give Danny Glover's character at the end of Predator 2. So it's pretty cool. I was like, oh shit, that's the same pistol. Now the question is, how then, if she has the pistol, how do the Predators end up having it 300 years later? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so there's another story in there that I would love them to tell. I need more.
Well, you know, it's broken streaming numbers for Hulu. It's been their most popular release on the platform. I mean, we don't know the exact numbers because streamers just refuse to do that. Yeah. But, you know, everyone involved has said that they're interested to tell more of the stories. We did we got the animated post-credits kind of sequence, you know, right, where it alludes to
more ships landing.
Yeah. So
it's like, did they come to land to pick up their fallen comrade? Be like, hey, good job, you took one of us down, here's a trophy. Or they're like, hey, you took one of us down, we're gonna fuck you up. I mean,
or is it like there's worthy opponents?
Yeah. Or hey, or even like this, hey, you took one of us down, why don't you come with us and we'll show you how to hunt like us, you know, like, because you took one of us down with primitive techniques and just with warrior spirit, you know, maybe you could teach us something.
And you used our technology against us.
Yeah. And I thought that was hilarious. I was like, that Predator, is he dumb? Is he stupid? Because I would think he would know that with the laser, where the laser spot goes, that's where his bolt would go. You'd think he would know that, but he fires it and he's like, I'm missing. And it just goes, you got to watch it. It's she outsmarts the Predator and she very cleverly fucks him up. And it's wonderful. It's a really great movie. They think it deserved a studio. I mean, an actual theatrical release, but we all win because it's on
Hulu. You know, they possibly could decide to release it in the theater now. You know, it's who possible. Knows? I mean, if Sony can keep fucking releasing Morbius in the theaters, it's based off a fucking movie.
It still sucks. You want to watch it again? No, I didn't want to watch it the first time. Yeah, but Prey, we recommend it, guys.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Another recommendation, and I'm sure most of our listeners out there have already started, if not finished it, but Sandman finally hit Netflix. Netflix last week, and
Sandman put Netflix on fleek.
It's everything I could have
adaptation.
Yeah, Sandman and Death are by long time in my like top five favorite comic series I've read in my whole life. I am not one of those people who is arguing about who they cast in the roles. Like, it doesn't bother me one fucking bit that Death is not a pale white girl. You know, I love the actress they chose for her. Oh my God. She brought to life exactly the voice I heard when I was reading Death on the page. Like, it's perfect.
All right. I'm coming from my perspective, I never read Sandman. So I mean, I was aware of it. I just had no clue. So I was going into it like as a noob. And I was like, okay, maybe I'm enjoying this a lot because I'm a noob, but I don't know how the story should go, or I don't have any expectations. But then I started hearing from people like yourself and other people who've like read the series and love it and just, they cherish it and they're just like, it is the best thing. It's the absolute perfect adaptation. Everything I imagined I wanted it to be, it is. And I'm like, okay, well, fuck yeah. I knew I was, you know, the first couple episodes, I was like, okay.
I'm going to answer that. I have not finished it. I'm savoring
what,
it.
Episode are you
on? I think I'm either through 7 or 8.
Okay. Well, I won't go that far. I mean, I was the first couple of episodes, I was like, this is moving a little slow.
Yeah.
Setting things up. Okay. And then when Dream got, you know, released, and I was like, okay, things are picking up. By episode six.
Is that the diner episode?
No, the diner episode is 5.
Oh, okay.
And that is a fantastically written episode. That is, I think, the best episode of the whole season. Episode 5, it is just brilliant. But episode 6 made me fucking cry. Like, the whole thing with Death and him and Death having the conversation. Mm-hmm. She's like, you know, let's talk while I work. And, you know, didn't realize that she was Death until, you know, they start showing up and she's, you know, showing up and people have died. And she's like, okay, you know, and I was just like, oh. And then there's one part. I can't even talk about it. There's one part. You know what I'm talking about, right? With the mother and the, I don't even want to spoil it for folks.
Yeah, don't.
But it is just so.
It's a beautifully done episode.
Hauntingly beautiful. And it's just so emotional. And it's just had me in tears. I was just like, no. I mean, it's brilliant. It's well written. It's perfectly cast. I can't even think of her real name. Brienne of Tarth.
Gwendolyn Christie.
It's
perfect. Yeah. But it's
Lucifer.
It's delicious. Morningstar.
I was just like, I want to get some of that. This is the wings and the robe and the actions, her outfits and that hair. I was like, shit. Like, Lucifer never looked so good. And it's just that the cast.
I gotta be, you know, what's funny is like Jenna Coleman kind of annoyed me when she was the companion on Doctor Who. But I, you know, really enjoyed her work and everything else she's been in. I just, for some reason, wasn't a fan of Clara as a character.
Some characters just rub you the wrong way.
Yeah. And you know, I am particular to Matt Ryan being Constantine, or I guess Constantine. Constantine. Now that we've all learned we've been pronouncing it wrong.
I think that was the only kind of gender swap that kind of rankled me just a tiny bit, but it wasn't really
to me she did work well in the role.
She did. I was just like, I just would have been kind of cool, but I think they avoided, you know, because they did the gender swaps. I think they wanted to avoid a direct, like, overt, like, here's a DC character thrown in here. Like,
well, and plus,
DC character.
They say that the Constantine project that DC has going is still in the works. So,
yeah.
You know.
So they've swapped some characters, but the casting is still fantastic.
I loved Tom Ellis as Lucifer in the Netflix series, you know, but it's, you know, Sam, this is not the same series. Absolutely. So it would have been weird for Tom Ellis's version to all of a sudden pop up in hell, you know?
Surprise! you know, and I think...
I decided I don't like living on Earth anymore, you know?
And I was worried because last time Netflix adapted something that I was highly looking forward to with the whole, what was it, the Atlas, Jupiter's Circle?
Jupiter Ascending?
No.
Oh, Jupiter's Legacy.
Jupiter's Legacy, that's the one. Sorry. Yeah. Or it was like, I was like, oh yeah, you know, I'm really looking forward to this one. And it's like, oh shit, bad wigs, bad effects, bad costumes. Terrible, like everyone is uninspired and I'm like, oh god, this is terrible. So I was wary. I was like, okay, well, you know what, I'll check it out. And thank you for Neil Gaiman was involved with this from 0 to 100, like all the way through, and I imagine he was not going to let this be a piece of shit.
Yeah, well, after kind of, you know, getting a lot of flack for American Gods, I'm not surprised that he got burned on that one.
Yeah. Which I don't blame him, and I'm glad he decided to do that, because they've hit a fucking home run on this one.
Yeah,
and I can't wait for season two.
Netflix needs to stop dicking around and go ahead and make the official announcement, because it's like, look, assholes, we know you're not gonna renew it.
Right. You're not gonna be like, well, you know, it did really well and everyone loves it, we're gonna go ahead and cancel it anyway. Just quit fucking with us and just come out and be like, you know, it's renewed for season two. Let's just do it, man.
Yeah. So now all we need is we need the Rings of Power to be good. Right.
Yes.
We are three weeks away from that. 3 weeks away from that. That needs to be good.
We need the Game of Thrones prequel to be good.
We need that to be good.
I want a lot of dragons. I want a lot of Targaryens being crazy. I want some shit. It better be good. Don't fuck us.
Let's let the end of summer end on a high note.
Oh yeah. Let's be good. I mean, I want the end of summer shows and stuff. Be great. I want the season finale of Westworld to be fucking fantastic, because this season four has been much better than season three. And
season four has been gone back to the mind fuckery.
I was just like, I don't know how far you are along. I was just like,
I'm caught up.
I was just like, what?
But not everybody out there is caught up.
I was like, oh shit. What? Like the last penultimate episode of the season.
Yeah,
it was just me. The whole episode was me doing this. What?
Or the last line was like, "Why can't I stop them? Because you're not here.
Oh,
you're not real. I was like, whatever.
What? It's exactly my whole. Are you kidding? What? She's not. How to? Oh, explain that. You know, that's how you feel watching Westworld. You can't complete your sentences because your mind is twisted in a knot. Like, well, I don't. How did they? What do you mean they lost the war? That's just it right there. You know, that's how you explain watching Westworld.
Yep.
There's good TV out there, folks. I'm telling you.
The world feels right again. Well, we're back to complaining about DC, but enjoying everything else.
All is right with the universe. DC is terrible. Marvel's putting out good shit again. And we got other good TV, and by God, they better renew.
Now there's rumors that the DC is now thinking, hey, maybe we should bring Henry Cavill back as Superman.
I don't know why they have it at this point. Oh my God.
He is even more popular of an actor. Hell, he's our new Highlander now. And I'm like, I will watch the fucking Highlander with Henry Cavill.
Connor McCloud, yes. Please give me his hard jaw and his hairy barrel chestedness and, you know, his kilted with the sword, the whole deal. I'm there. Sword fights. Give it to me, man. And I'm just like, I don't know why they stopped making Superman movies. Just make a fucking Superman movie. Make a bright, happy, colorful, uplifting fucking Superman movie.
I don't need it to be bright and colorful. Just find a happy medium.
Doesn't have to be dark and gray and all brooding in him. Like, oh, I'm sad. I want to listen to Alice in Chains on repeat for 24 hours a day because I'm sad and I'm mean. I mean, have him be like happy. Like, I got superpowers. I'm happy. Oh, shucks. I'm from a small town. I'm going to save the world. You know, have him save some puppies and fucking fight some bad guys. You know, shit. Ain't that difficult? Superman. Quit making fucking Batman movies for a minute. Got enough Batman. Fuck. They're going to make a Joker sequel and it's going to be
a musical.
A musical, which I don't get, but hey, it might work. I don't know. It's DC. They just throw shit.
It's DC, but it's not DC because it's not part of the main.
Yeah, it's DC, but it's not DCEU. It's DC separate. Yeah. But you know what? We want a 10-year plan, but we're going to go ahead and keep these movies that aren't part of the DCEU that actually end up being the hits that we would love to have for the DCEU. But nah, we're just going to leave those separate because fuck that.
Like, yeah, it's like they decided this is our Vertigo line of movies. And this is
how about you take those movies that are hits that are awesome And you springboard off of those into a DCEU. Hey, whatever.
this episode is just going to keep circling back.
We circled the drain enough times. It's enough.
Well, that's a good spot to end this week's show on. When you join us next time, we will had a couple of weeks to let the finale of Westworld be dissected and soaked in. Yeah. Yes, you'll either hear a loud screaming from nerds everywhere in disappointment.
They'll be like, no, or oh, shit.
Or stunned silence because we can't believe what we just saw.
Yeah. And then it'll be the, okay, now we wait to see if it's been renewed for season 5.
I remember them saying 5 was their goal, but with everything happening, who knows?
We'll see.
So, but as always, folks, we appreciate you tuning in. Sorry we had to take the week off. I am back in everything working territory. Also, we did not lose Celis during this episode.
I told you I was going to connect my Ethernet cable to my laptop, which I did. I plugged it from my PS5.
My PC is now plugged into Ethernet too.
I plugged it in because I was like, I'm tired of my shit dropping out, and I'm not going to let that happen again. So,
yeah,
because my Wi-Fi is bullshit.
Well, apparently everybody's Wi-Fi is bullshit. But I have 6 Fire Sticks connected to it. Three Ring devices.
We wonder, why is my Wi-Fi suck? And you're like, you got your TV connected, your phone, your laptop, both your consoles. And I'm like, it just doesn't work.
Hey, and in our house, my oven is even connected to it.
I don't understand why your oven needs to be connected to Wi-Fi.
Because I can preheat it when I'm not at home. Or if I'm too lazy. Who thought
that would be just the thing that people would need, a selling point? What do you mean? I can heat the oven, but I'm not home? Shit. Or I'll take it.
I don't feel like getting up from the couch and pausing the TV. I can control the oven and do stuff from the other room.
This is how we become those people from...
From Westworld?
No. This is how we become those people from WALL-E, okay? Where we have barely any bones left and we're just gelatinous blobs.
No, this sitting is how in I hover become, chairs. This is how
Let me turn the oven off from my chair.
This is how I become the Jetsons, okay?
Speaking of, George Jetson was born last week. Technically, in the Jetsons universe, his birth date was last week. So... what we got about 40 45 years till black and brown people don't exist anymore. Hey, next time you watch the Jetsons, man, there aren't any dark people. Where'd we go? I have questions.
Any new listeners out there who just heard him say that, I just want to point out that
I'm I'm a black person. Don't be like, hey, is he asking for the extermination of black people? Like, no, it's a joke. I'm just asking questions. You've been stupid. But anyway.
All righty, folks. Y'all take care out there, and we'll see you next time.
And as always, don't forget your pillow.
The Blurred Nerds podcast is sponsored by Sweatpants and Coffee, home of the Real Anxiety Blob. Find them on the web at www.sweatpantsandcoffee.com.
You've been listening to the Blurred Nerds podcast, a member of the ESO Network. Join in on the nerd fun by following the Blurred Nerds on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also check out our sister channel, GVTV, on YouTube at Geek Ventures Television. Have comments or show ideas? Want to hear more? Subscribe today, join us on our social media channels, or send us an email to theblurrednerds@gmail.com.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.